Good morning and welcome to Christ is the Answer, coming to you from Seaview Full Gospel Church in Back Bay, New Brunswick. Today, our pastor, Pastor Randy Crozier, will be preaching today's message. If you'd like a copy of today's message or any other message, you can contact us at the church office at area code 506-755-3592. Now, here is Pastor Randy Crozier with today's message.
Just two things this morning in relation to why our passion for the propagation of the gospel, our passion for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and influencing other people to come to Christ should be primary in our purpose. Number one, because Jesus commanded it. Really, that's all that we need. And every gospel author felt that it was important enough, no matter how he chose to report it as the Spirit influenced them, every single gospel author felt the need to communicate to the church the commission that Jesus Christ gave. Go! Go was the very last command that he gave us. You know, there's always been a lot of stock historically placed in the last words. You know, your last will and testament are supposed to be assign significant gravity because they're your last words. That's your last communique to your descendants and the people that you leave behind. Well, the very last words, or rather the last command issued by Christ to the church was that we should go. And it's ridiculous, really, when you start to think about it, that somehow that we've lost touch with that, or we've relegated it to a less than significant place. So Christ commands us to go into all the world. And whatever we, now some people call it outreach or, the soul-saving enterprise or even, but no matter what you call it, it is something that Christ instructed us to do. So, you know, evangelism for that reason alone has to be a priority for us. The second, you know, imperative in relation to this is that Jesus Christ is the only way. So number one, Christ commanded it. Number two, there aren't any alternatives. There is no possibility of mankind or any human being reaching God outside of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, John 14:6, I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the light. And no man comes to the Father but by me. That being said, you know, if Jesus Christ commanded it, and there are no alternatives to this program that God has established, then it is, again, an imperative for us. It is urgent on our part that we be communicating that very exclusive message. We need to be the conveyors to the world of this very narrow but significant hope. The world needs hope. It desperately needs hope. It desperately needs redemption. And we need to be the people who are transmitting that. And, I may have said something like this in relation to something else last week. But, you know, there are, in terms of most of the initiatives of the world and of life in general, there are any number of people and or institutions that can take care of it. You know, Walmart can get you stuff. Target can get you. Well, not in Canada anymore. Right? That was a brief experiment. But, you know, you can go here, you can go there, and you can get any number of things from any number of sources. But, you know, Walmart is never going to take over the business of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no commercial enterprise that's going to step in if we drop the ball. We're it. If we don't tell people, if we don't do the things that need to be done in order to represent Christ to dying people, it just isn't going to happen. The church is the whole ball of wax. We are the complete package. And when we fall down, when we trip up, when we fail in this fundamental mandate, then the world begins to die and go to hell. You know, I years and years ago, maybe it was in 1997, when I was traveling with students, we ended up in Ontario. And wherever we were, we decided we were going to take a part of a day and we were going to go to Niagara Falls. And You know, and I'm not the kind of person that, you know, I get all kinds of, like, you know, spiritual, you know, mind-blowing spiritual, you know, revelations and deep, deep insight, you know, just flowing at me all the time. You know, but I was standing there and we were looking at Niagara Falls and this immense, how many of you have been to Niagara Falls, right? So you've seen that massive volume of water that's just roaring over the edge, huge volume of water. And as I was standing there, I remember that I felt like the Lord, you know, laid on my heart that the volume of water raging over the edge of that fall was like the souls that were pouring into an eternity without Christ. You know, and that's a problem that's not going to be resolved outside of our picking up the mandate that belongs to us, outside of us answering the Great Commission. So the gospel message is urgent. The gospel message is worth telling. Indeed, it's the greatest message that was ever proclaimed. So we need to be busy in that work. However, the issue, and it's the issue that's at the root of the message this morning, is the fact that in spite of all of that, in spite of the repeated commission that, you know, blares out from the pages of the Word of God, evangelism is dying. All across North America, evangelism is on the ropes. Somehow, for some reason, the progress of the gospel of Jesus Christ in North America has slowed to almost a glacial crawl. Where once upon a time, we were a part of the world that was, you know, struck by repeated revivals and, you know, souls were swept into the kingdom. It's been a long, long... Now, you know, everybody can say, well, I heard about such and such a place. But I guarantee you that in the last many, many decades, those little revivals that you hear have been very confined and very limited. Generally speaking, across North America, souls are not coming to Jesus Christ. You know, a significant, I won't name it, but a significant evangelical magazine published an article. And in the article, they reviewed the findings of a Pew Foundation study that examined the state or the condition of evangelical churches in the United States. So, you know, it's the Pew Foundation. They do the United States. It's not Canadian, but it's reflective of a reality that's shared across the border. So the statistics don't immediately bear upon it, but the significance of them, you know, shouldn't escape us. So they're telling this story about the findings of the foundation study of the state of the evangelical church. And the article very happily announced, and I quote, "Evangelicals have remained remarkably stable." Now, think about it now. Evangelicals have remained remarkably... Now, this is talking about numerical growth. I should add that. That would make a difference. Evangelicals have remained remarkably stable. What is stable? Stable is just a euphemism for stagnant. Stable is simply a euphemism in this context for no progress made, stalled. And this article is rejoicing at the fact that the church of Jesus Christ has simply marked time. They're delighted at the knowledge that, you know, we're stable. How can that be reason to rejoice when we're a people to whom Jesus said, "I send you into the world as the Father sent me into the world. Go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations." You know, it went on. The article went on after making that statement, also reporting in a really celebratory tone, like, "Whoa, this is good, this is good." And it said that the study revealed that evangelicals have lost less than 1% of the population. What has happened to us that a minor loss is celebrated as a victory? A loss of any kind, something has taken place in the spirit of the church in North America today that we're just congratulating ourselves. We're patting ourselves on the back when we can say we've had a small loss and not a big one. We are called. And more significantly, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to represent Christ. We cannot, you know, it's a tragedy that we've reached a place where we're congratulating ourselves on the fact that our losses have been meager. Or that we've simply been stagnant. We're the people called by Christ to share the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit, commissioned to go out there and bring Christ to the world. We should be making gains, not suffering losses, and telling ourselves that, you know, it's not bad because it's a small loss. Well, I guess, you know, if you rationalize it enough, a small loss is bigger than a big one. But God, help us and deliver us from the kind of thinking that brings us to a place in North America, in the churches of Canada and the United States, when we're just okay with the fact that people are not getting saved. And we're patting ourselves on the back because we're only dying slowly. We're only losing ground very slowly. Do you know that for every convert to Christianity in the United States, there are more than four people who describe themselves as former Christians? You know the old saying, one step forward, two steps back? Well, how about one step forward, four steps back? For every convert to Christianity in the United States, there are four people who say they are former Christians. They have abandoned Christ. You know, almost if you look at almost any church or organization, denomination today, and you compare their statistics today with statistics 30 years ago, you will discover that really the way it works out is that only one person is being reached with the gospel for every 60 to 80 people who know Jesus. And that's pretty slow moving. And most churches, I'll say something encouraging here somewhere along the line. Most churches that do report growth, not all, there are some really great exceptions, but they are isolated. The overwhelming majority of churches in the United States that report numerical growth in their congregation, it's not because of evangelism, it's because of movement from one church to the other. That's not evangelism, that's just like one guy said, sheep shuffling. You know, and you know, again, let's not congratulate ourselves or pat ourselves on the back. We have a mandate to win lost people for Jesus Christ. Globally, 8 out of every 10 non-Christians doesn't even know a Christian. 8 out of every 10 Christians doesn't even know anybody who knows Jesus Christ. The common or shared passion and quest among Christians to reach others for Jesus, to fulfill the Great Commission, to participate in the mission and the purpose of Jesus Christ has slipped from top place in most of our churches. It's once upon a time, not so long ago in our history, reaching people for Jesus was the number one priority in our churches. But it's no longer there. And it isn't that it slipped to second place, or third place, or even fourth place. In a lot of our churches, it's just some kind of an old idea stuck in a broom closet somewhere. And there isn't any real evidence or indication in our midst that we're doing anything to win souls for Jesus Christ. That we are applying ourselves to the Great Commission, to the ultimate charge issued to us by Jesus Christ upon his departure, to the thing or the activity that defines us or identifies us as actually being the body of Christ, in that we do what the head wants us to do, that we execute on the mission that he came here to execute himself. Now, I was going to tell you a story about Wesleyan hymnals, but we'll skip that little bit of information. The question that comes to us is, what do you do? What do you do to restore, to rehabilitate, to renew a culture of evangelism. You know what a culture of evangelism is? A culture of evangelism exists in a church when that church or that congregation has a self-awareness where it defines itself as a community of believers working with one another to win their community or the wider community to Jesus Christ. Until that's true, until we have that self-awareness, until that kind of consciousness rests upon us, then the culture of evangelism hasn't settled upon us. But there's some things that can be done. Well, number one, you know, you got to consider what's God's part. Well, God's part, very simply, was the cross, right? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. So that's God's part. He did it. The redemption program is in place. What's our part in relation to that? Well, our part is just as simple. We are obligated by virtue of the fact that we are saved to participate in the Great Commission. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses, I want to try and abbreviate this a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21, this is what it says. Paul's writing, he says, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. For Christ's love compels us. I love that statement. Christ's love compels us. How many of us feel compelled because of our experience of the love of God, because of our experience of the redemptive love of Jesus Christ? How many of us feel compelled, like Paul, to persuade others? So he says, you know, we know the fear of God. We try to persuade others. We are compelled by the love of Jesus Christ because we're convinced. We are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live... Now listen to this. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We, if we're going to understand our part, God having done his, we need to understand that we're no longer here to live for ourselves. We're here on a mission. Once you accept Christ as your Redeemer, all of that other stuff that, you know, is part and parcel of your life is really secondary or even tertiary. We have a responsibility to live in the world now for him and no longer for ourselves. All this, Paul said, is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, listen to this, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in the world, reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The responsibility is ours. The responsibility for the message and ministry of reconciliation belongs to us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors in the world. We are Christ's ambassadors in the world. As though he were making his appeal through us, we implore you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our part. To be out there fully shouldering our responsibility for the message and the ministry of reconciliation, acting as the ambassadors of Jesus Christ so that he speaks to them through us, and imploring people to come to Christ. That's fundamental to who we are in Christ. It's fundamental to a culture of evangelism in a church. There are a lot of important doctrines in the Word of God. Lots and lots of important doctrines in the Word of God. It would be wrong for me to stand up here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday if I simply said, okay, we're just going to preach evangelism and I'm going to talk about this again and again and I'm just going to come at it from, you know, as many different angles as I can come at it, but the only thing that I'm going to talk to you about is winning souls for Jesus Christ. That would be wrong because there are other very important doctrines in the Word of God. But you understand that every one of those doctrines really facilitates that other doctrine? All those other truths are there in order to enable us to be Christ's ambassadors and to be his witnesses and to be effective for him in the world. And if any other concern or any other issue, doctrinally or otherwise, somehow subsumes or submerges or sinks or drowns the idea that we have to be here winning people for Christ, then we've missed the mark. We've missed the mark so badly. So badly, any church really that misses the mark in relation to this really has to begin asking itself, are we still a church? If we're not participating with all of our heart and soul in the business of winning people for Jesus Christ. So what needs to happen? Very quickly. Number one, the sad reality that has come upon us needs to become intolerable to us. When we look around ourselves and we see ourselves now, you know, I should have presaged this by saying that we need to look at ourselves. You know, I've shared with you with the idea that this is a condition that's pervasive throughout North America. The question we have to ask, is this the condition that we find ourselves in at Seaview Full Gospel Church? And if the answer is yes, if we can say to ourselves that, you know, it's somehow we have lost our edge, we have lost our passion for, you know, winning people to Jesus Christ, then what needs to happen is that state needs to become intolerable to us. We have got to come to a place where in our minds or in our thinking, we are unable to endure that condition any longer. We say to ourselves, it cannot continue. The second thing that has to happen is it's imperative that we begin to experience, if that's the case, if we are in that intolerable situation, we need to begin to experience deep contrition or remorse that leads to repentance. And we begin to say, Lord, you know, we recognize it as an intolerable condition, and forgive us, Christ, for not participating in the mission you've set for us to the way that we have. And as we begin to experience contrition, experience remorse, and as we begin to repent, then God, who is always gracious, he begins to sweep in, and he begins, by his Spirit, to rehabilitate us. You know, personal self-reformation, self-rehabilitation never leads to anything that's good. But when the Holy Spirit, in response to contrition and repentance, begins to sweep in and do stuff, then he really begins to effect radical transformation. And so, as we see it as an intolerable situation, and we begin to experience contrition, and we begin to repent, the Holy Spirit begins to work. Number three, we need to begin praying. Back to prayer. We need to begin praying passionately. Passionately, because James says it's the fervent and the effectual prayer of a righteous person that avails much. We need to begin praying passionately, you know, that the Holy Spirit would relight the fire of evangelism in us. And again, that goes back to what I just said. You know, these are all good thoughts, but it's not an encouragement to self-reformation. It's not me saying to you, you know, you need to pull your socks up and you need to change. It's me saying to you, me saying to myself that, you know, we need to fall down upon our faces in contrition and repentance, looking for the Holy Spirit to work, crying out to him, Jesus, relight the fire of evangelism in us. Relight a passion for souls in our hearts. And we also need to pray for the lost. We need to, you know, hear their names again. I've said to you, this place, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, my prayer is that it's going to come to a point where there's never a Sunday morning or a Sunday night that there aren't people up here who are breaking their hearts over these names. crying out for God to do something in these lives. So we begin to pray, Lord, relight in us the fire of evangelism so that souls matter to us again. And Jesus, save these souls. And finally, we need to take action. You know, prayer, I may have said this when I was talking with Daniel Nash. I read this years ago, and someone said this, and it stuck with me. Prayer is the way that we win every victory in the church. Anything and everything else that we do is just a matter of going and picking up the prize. So these are the prizes of inestimable value to God. If we're going to win the victory, then we need to pray. However, it remains true that the prize does need to be picked up. So after we've prayed, we need to do something. We need to come to a place where, as a church, we begin as individuals and as a group taking deliberate action to see people come to Jesus Christ. I mean, if there's a culture of evangelism, if the fire has been relit in our hearts for souls, then it's going to begin to pan out. There are going to be things popping up all the time that we're doing that are about reaching people for Jesus Christ, both in our private lives out there on the street and what we do in the house and what we do together outside the house. We get busy. You know, we pray, we win the victory, we secure the liberation and the deliverance of these people from the God of this world and the darkness that he's imposed upon them on our knees. And then we got to go outside in some manner and take action to collect the prize. These are the prizes. So the question then is, you know, for you, are you up for it as a church? It's kind of like my question about throwing your hat in the ring. A little piece of paper. So this is part of what's in the ring. And the question for you is, are you up for it? Is your hat still in the ring? Are you a group of people who are willing to go home and fall on your knees and say, God, relight the fire in us for lost souls. Instill us with whatever courage or wisdom that we need to reach them for you.
Thank you, Pastor Crozier. We hope that you enjoyed today's radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, please contact us at the church office at 506-755-3592 or in writing at 195 Back Bay Loop Road in Back Bay, New Brunswick, E5C2W3. Or you can visit us on our website at www.cbeautifulgospel.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, See Beautiful Gospel Church. Till next week, God bless, and remember, Christ is the answer.
He is.